Listening Library presents Who We Were in the Dark by Jessica Taylor. Read for you by Jeremy Carlisle Parker. For all the girls who have found themselves, and all the girls still searching. Winter. Now. Chapter 1. There are places you know, and then there are places that know you. Donner Pass, the high point over Truckee, where the elevation made Donner Lake spread like deep blue ink throughout the dip in the valley. That was somewhere that knew the sound of my footsteps, the smell of my frozen hair, the rhythm of my heart. Inside the cabin, the plink, plink, plink of the kitchen faucet needled my ears. I tossed my keys onto the cracked tile counter and flipped off the water. It had been left on by someone to keep the relentless cold from freezing the pipes solid. Our cabin wore the signs of a year without me. Cobwebs trailed down the staircase spindles. A layer of grease caked the stove from the year before. And the once white sink was stained with rust spots and limescale. I used to miss these walls and woods when I was suffocating between locker-lined hallways. I'd wait for summer and winter and spring. 3 times a year when Kevin's Jeep would climb up, up, up through the twisted hills. As the oxygen thinned, I could finally breathe. Here in Truckee, high above Donner Lake, the air tasted like pine, like lake water, like fresh snow. Here I'd hear my brother's whoops as we tore through the forest at night, feel Rand's kisses vibrating against my throat on the hotel rooftop, relish the hollow clink of Grace's glass against mine, her eyes going bright as she raised her drink to the night and the summer and us. Back then, I didn't know that I'd have to hold Grace's silence, too. How that absence of sound would be the loudest of all. Donner Pass didn't just know me. It knew them, too. Now, after a year away, without me and without us, our wonderful and wretched foursome, I wished this place could forget. Spring, Year 1, Chapter 2. There was a story scotch taped to my bedroom wall back home, frayed edges, torn from a spiral binder. The ink was gel and purple from a too nice pen I'd borrowed from my math partner last year and forgot, kind of, to give back. Inside that shimmery violet universe, a girl was trapped in a box. One day, the girl tunneled through the side and reached out for a perfect world. A bright, sunlit life her fingers couldn't quite touch. A jerk of the Jeep made my eyes snap open. Mountainside trees whirred past, giving way to the bright flash of a quick-flowing river. Kevin and Wesley were listening to the game on the radio. A's versus Cardinals. I'd lost track of the score. From the back seat, I stared at the sleeve of Kevin's Cal t-shirt as he shifted gears on the old Jeep and cornered the tight mountain turns. The college tee didn't go with the gray at Kevin's temples that peppered its way into his half-hearted beard. That was the real giveaway that he had decades on Wesley and me. A 40-year-old former frat boy who had inexplicably sprouted a conscience. The A's batter struck out and Wesley bit his knuckles. He was an A's fan. We both were. My brother liked that they were a small team with no budget who turned it all around. Our mom raised us on the roar of the A's stadium and hot dogs that snapped between our teeth. That was back when we had extra cash for games, before mom got sick. The constant stream of the announcers' voices and the occasional roar of the fans were enough to drown out the silence in the car. "Yeah!" Kevin yelled, when the Cardinals hit one out of the park, which was probably the eighth word he'd said since we left Gridley 2 hours before. I didn't know why he'd root for them, a team from Missouri. I didn't know why, because I didn't know him at all. Wesley hugged the headrest behind him as he looked back at me.
Nora, you got your stuff out of the dryer, right?
He'd already asked me this twice. First, while we watched the front window for Kevin to pull up. Half an hour later than Kevin had said. And again, before I went back inside to leave a fresh glass of water next to the pill bottles on Mom's nightstand while she slept. The back of her hand had been curled up over her eyes, blocking out both the midday light seeping through her blinds and the phantom from her former life idling his Jeep in our drive. "Forgot," I said as I propped my bare feet on the center console and wiggled my toes against Wesley's arm. "I guess I'll be sockless and pantsless all week."
"There's a Target in Reno," Kevin said over his shoulder. "I don't mind detouring."
Wesley exhaled and faced forward.
"She's being a smartass."
Kevin chuckled, tightening his hand on the steering wheel and letting it go loose.
"The smartass gene runs rampant on my side of the family, Nora."
He scratched the scruff on his chin and flicked his eyes to Wesley.
Your mom says you play baseball."
"Yep."
Wesley shifted his long limbs around in his seat, knobby knees bumping the glove box.
"Just JV, though. They don't put a ton of freshmen on varsity."
Kevin squeezed Wesley's shoulder, and I noticed the carburetor burn from Wesley's after-school job had turned an angrier shade of red.
"Next year," Kevin said. "You'll make it next year."
In the rearview mirror, he gave me a questioning look.
"Nora, you play too, yeah? Eighth grade. You gonna try out for JV next year?"
The seatbelt chafed my neck. I zipped my sweatshirt to my chin and sat up straighter. "There isn't a girls' team next year. Not at the high school." The dizzying pull of the roadside river's current churned through my stomach. Spring breaks were for sleeping until lunch, climbing up on the roof to see the stars, and staying over at any house that found itself parentless for the night. Our mom had just moved us into a smaller apartment that put my brother and me into a new school district. Everything I'd known for basically all my life was being carried away from me. White caps on a roiling river. The trees pulled away from the wide blue sky as our wheels hit the lookout point at the top of the hill. Kevin rolled down the driver's side window. The air slapped against my face as the car climbed higher. It must have been 20 degrees cooler than back in the valley.
"Lots of history in these hills," he said. "You can feel it."
Wesley bumped his head up and down in a little nod.
"Sounds cool."
He was approaching this vacation like it was another day of work at the shop. A thing to go along with. A duty to fulfill.
"You'll feel it when you're up there, Nora," Kevin said. "The air, the lake, the pines. You're going to love it."
He glanced to Wesley.
"Both of you."
All I could feel was the humming of the radio speaker against my leg and the certainty that my brother and I should not be hurtling up a mountain with a stranger. My short story was far, far away, flapping under the ceiling fan I probably left on. I should have brought the pages with me. A year ago, I'd started it. It still needed an ending. The announcer on the radio called the game for the Cardinals. The A's lost. Kevin's fist punched up in the air. Wesley cringed a little but smiled at Kevin and said,
"Go Cardinals."
These two, my dad and my brother, they were both strangers to me, just in different ways. Kevin said less and less again the closer we got to Truckee.
Occasionally, when he had to change
Sample complete. Ready to continue?